Okay. Didn't work. Oh boy.
And remember, Troy, you don't have to look at that computer screen.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had a glitch already. It didn't come up.
Didn't it work? I don't know what just happened. No momento. That was really good.
That was really weird. It just glitched out. Well, of course it did. Maybe I gotta hit that one.
You hit that. Okay. I think I messed it up.
Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on Facebook Live. This is really new and different for us. I know it's 9:01. We thought we might wait till 9:10 to see if we could hook this up, but we've got it working, and hopefully that you're seeing us live. I am sitting in House of Grace in pretty much an empty church with a few tech people here helping me along the way. But just in the way of a couple of announcements that I'd like to give you, just know that we're doing our very best to keep the fellowship of House of Grace together in such times as these. And they're very trying times for sure. We will be doing as many of these live feeds as we possibly can, including Wednesday nights. You can join us on a live feed for prayer. Obviously, we can't meet together due to some regulations from the CDC in Riverside County. They've prohibited meetings for more than four people. So all of our services will be streamed live from prayer to Wednesday night Bible study and as many things as we can do. But first and foremost, we want you to know we want to protect our House of Grace family. We don't want anybody to get sick, especially by coming to church. We never know where this virus is going to attack. So we're going to stay compliant with all the latest regulations. But just to make it clear, we're suspending all services here at House of Grace. There'll be no services for men's study or women's study at this time. Wednesday nights, it will be live streamed, and so will Sunday mornings. As far as the Easter sunrise service, we're not clear. It's an unknown as of yet, and there'll be more information coming with that. And the information that we'll be having will be on Facebook, House of Grace Hemet. You'd find the information there, as well as Instagram. And also, we have a place for email. So houseofgracehemet@gmail.com. If you want to ask questions and stuff, we can get answers to you as soon as we get those emails. And we'll have other information as best we can get it out to you. So stay tuned. Keep watching us. Another question that's been asked, how do we tithe? As you know, here at House of Grace, we look at tithing as an act of worship. We don't take up offerings, so we have a box in the back, and most of you have worshiped the Lord at that box when you come in. I fully believe that the tithes and offerings are something that you prepare before you ever get to church. And so we want to make that still available to you. We have a Venmo account. And you can go on Venmo and you can put money there, and it's at House of Grace Hemet is the key word for that. You can also send them via the regular mail to House of Grace, 41434 Crest Drive, Hemet, California, 92544, and that will be up on information pages in the future so that you'll be able to get that. Lastly, in the announcements, I pray that you will be vigilant in your prayers and fervent in your prayers for not just House of Grace, but for everyone that's being affected by this horrible virus. There are people who are very sick, elderly who are dying, and people who are out of work. And I'm asking you to pray not just the prayers that we've prayed before, you know, just flippant little prayers because we're busy and we're on our way, but maybe get up 15, 20 minutes early and pray like a lion. Pray with ferocity and speak to the Lord to get this virus and deliver us from such a thing as this. So I want to encourage you to pray. Please know that you are loved by all here at House of Grace. We love you deeply, and we miss our family and deeply as well. We'll be communicating via email. Hopefully you have somebody's email address. I would encourage you to at least email three people that you know that go to church here and encourage them. Just encourage them with a scripture, with a prayer. Send them Instagram. This techie stuff is all new for me because I don't usually do these kinds of things, but they are now the medium in which we're going to communicate. So phone calls, text, emails, whatever. Encourage one another. Don't be isolated and don't feel like you don't have fellowship because we can fellowship through these different mediums and we'll have a great time and God will bring about a great revival when this is all over. I'm planning just to raise the hallelujahs as we come back together as a church and hear all the great things God has done. But one last thing I would encourage you, something the Lord has really laid upon my heart, acts of kindness, just random acts of kindness. I was working this week and I was running late because of a couple different things and I had to go to Home Depot. And as I got all the material that I needed for a job, it was quite a bunch of little pieces and a cart full of stuff. And I asked the lady if she wanted to be my cashier and check this stuff out. And she kind of looked at me like, not really. I don't want to talk to people. You might be diseased. And I said, no, I don't have the virus. And I'm okay. And she just talked about how bad her day was. And she was very upset. As she started to ring me up, we didn't talk much. But there was a little boy behind me. And I didn't know his name. He was probably about 12 years old, but he had the biggest brown eyes, and he was trying to buy rat poison. He had a bag of Decon rat poison, and as I'm standing there, the lady kept telling, well, you just have to be patient. This is a big order. It's going to take some time. And he sat there, and he counted out his change, and he kept counting out his change, and he finally replied and said, I don't think I have enough money anyway, so I'm just going to go. I turned around, and I said, well, how much do you need? And he said, well, I think I'm 50 cents short. I said, well, I'll give you a dollar. Make sure you're covered. He goes, oh, thank you, mister. So I handed him a dollar. And lo and behold, my great cashier, being so frustrated and distracted, messed up the order. So she took everything out of the bags, and she laid it out, and she started to ring it up all over again. Well, the little boy wasn't impatient. He just stood there patiently waiting to buy his rat poison. I couldn't help myself but to turn around and say, young man, why are you buying rat poison? Then my mom said, we have rats and they're eating our food. And she sent me down here to get rat poison. And I said, do you want to go home? And he goes, yeah, my mom wants me to be home really fast. And I don't know. And so I just took my Home Depot card and I paid for his Decon rat poison. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'll pay for it on my card. You can get the receipt and you can get out of here and you can pay me the money. And he said, okay, great. And so I did that. And I said, by the way, there's a Tasty Freeze over there. Would you like some ice cream? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, take that money right there and go buy yourself the biggest ice cream you can get. And he grabbed his receipt and he grabbed his Decon and he walked out the door. He walked to the door. He turned around, looked at me and said, thank you, mister. The amazing thing about the story is the reaction of the cashier. See, she was so bummed out and so, like, distraught over this stupid coronavirus stuff that she didn't want to talk to anybody. And she looked at me and said, mister, that made my day. We have to be kind to one another, and that's what's going to make us get through this time. And it was just a simple act of kindness. So, sorry about the long story, but you know me, I want to encourage you, every opportunity you get, to be kind. You're planting the very seeds of the gospel in the hearts of people who may never know. So God is going to use this time mightily for us to have opportunities to share the gospel. So please pray. Please look for opportunities everywhere you can just to do a simple act of kindness for somebody. And I know the Lord is what Satan has meant for evil at this time. And what I think he's done is I drove through Hemet and there's not a car in a parking lot of any church. Satan has done a masterful job of closing down the churches, but he can't stop the gospel. So what he's meant for evil, God's going to turn around and use for good through the people of God. So be very cognizant of what might transpire in your life. So, all right. So far, so good. Yeah, we're live. We're still doing this. I'm going to go ahead and pray. And if you would, while I'm praying, if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, I'm going to be doing just an encouraging message out of Psalm 91. I was intrigued by it because it talks about pestilence and plagues and being delivered and So I really did some studying on it. I wanted to know who wrote it because it doesn't say. I wanted to know the backstory of it. And I got a little bit of information on it that I want to share with you because I found it very encouraging. So let me pray and then I'll get started in the study. God, this is a weird day for me, as you know. All this techie stuff, sitting in front of cameras, Instagram, Facebook. Thank you, God, for those avenues that we can speak to the people that we love so dearly. And I thank you for everybody that's tuned in on this and is watching at home. I wish I could see them as they can see me. I miss them dearly. But we pray that your Holy Spirit would unite us at this time, that you would unite us in the Word of God, that this Word would go forth. It would accomplish a calm and a peace and a joy in us, Father, because this is what brings us together every Sunday, is your Word, your presence, Lord. And it doesn't matter if we're in this building or if we're sitting at home. You're the same. You're the same. It's the same Word, the same Holy Spirit. And our fellowship is truly in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Though we love one another, Lord, our fellowship is with you. And we're tuning in today, God, to hear a word from you. I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to do. But I've come to you, Lord, with this passage of Scripture that I think will encourage and lift our hearts towards you. And so I pray that we'd hear your voice today. I pray that we'd be comforted a little by spending time with you. And we'd be encouraged to spend more time each day as we see these days just growing darker and darker, Lord. For you are the light of the world, and you've put that light into us in the same way we are the light of the world. So help us, Lord, to do kind things. Help us to share our faith everywhere we can. Lord, let there be a great revival from this very terrible tragedy of this virus. And God, we would ask, Father, that you would eliminate this virus supernaturally. First and foremost, God, that you would eradicate it. You can. You're using it for your purposes. We submit totally to your will. But God, we pray that you would deliver us from this pestilence. Heal those who are sick. Keep those who are elderly and vulnerable from getting sick. Keep each one of us safe from this virus, Lord God. We pray for your protection in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so a couple of verses before I hit Psalm 91. There's a couple. One of the verses that I'm going to read you at the start of this is from the book of Hosea. So many people ask me what I think God is doing. I do not pretend to know other than what his word says. One of the things that I know for sure from reading the Old Testament many, many times, there's always been pestilence and plagues that God has used to stir up his people. Throughout the wilderness experience, there was fiery serpents, there was different kinds of plagues and different things to get people's attention. One of the things I saw in the book of Hosea comes from the 10th chapter and the 12th verse. And it's talking about how for many years Israel and Judah have been just worshiping other gods or just being complacent or apathetic towards God. But he talks about in the 12th verse about getting back to the Lord. And it says this, it says, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up the fallowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you." One of the things I think this season we're in is doing is breaking up the hard ground. It's that breaking up the fallowed ground. It's like when you first start planting your fields, you break up that hard dirt. And back in these days, they take a big ox and a big plow, and they would just go in and try to break up the hard ground. And I don't know, I've planted a few gardens. I don't have a green thumb at all, but I know the first thing I have to do is go out with a shovel and break up that ground that's just been sitting there, and it just hasn't produced anything. So I turn it over. And he's talking to us about turning over that hard ground and sow seeds of righteousness. And that's what I'm talking about, those acts of kindness and acts of love, text, emails, whatever, to encourage another person. Sow for yourselves in righteousness, for it's time to seek the Lord. And if there is ever a time for us to be seeking God, it is now. It is truly now. Okay, so now I'm in Psalm 91. Give you a little bit of history of this particular psalm. It's kind of in the middle of all the psalms, and you would think it would be located at the first, because if most of the commentaries that I read on this psalm were correct, this is a psalm that was written by Moses, as in Psalm 90. which said that the a prayer of Moses, the man of God. He wrote Psalm 90, and Psalm 90 is more of the psalm of how God and his family and man dies, and our days are limited to 70, maybe 80. Time on earth is short, so seek the Lord, which Moses was an avid preacher of those kinds of things. As you know, Moses was the one who led the children of Israel all through those 40 years in wilderness experience and was able to get them right to the border of the promised land, but they were not able to go in because of unbelief. Moses saw a lot of things during that time, a lot of pestilence, plagues, snakes, poison water. I mean, I think of all the different things they went through in those times. But in Psalm 91, he made an observation. When he wrote Psalm 91, he was looking at what happens to the righteous during such times, and probably had in mind guys like Caleb and Joshua. They were the two spies that came back with a good report. If you remember, when they went in to spy out the land, 10 spies come out and said, man, these people are big. They're giants, and we can't take them. Their cities are fortified up to the sky. We can't go over the walls. It's truly a land that flows with milk and honey, like God said, but we don't believe that we can take it. And because of unbelief, they were told they have to go back and wander in the wilderness for 40 years until that generation of people who didn't believe died off. Well, during that time, the two spies, Joshua and Caleb, that came back and said, oh, no. There's giants for sure. And the walls are big, yes, but God is bigger. And we believe that God will give us this land. So because of the multitude of people of unbelief, they all had to go back into the wilderness, including Caleb and Joshua. So what happens to these two guys that trusted the Lord and believed in the Lord, yet still had to wander in the wilderness? Well, that kind of gives you an insight into Psalm 91, what it means to walk with the Lord. So I'm going to read parts of it and comment on it. So if you want to follow along, I'm going to start in verse 1 through 3. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Well, the first thing that I see in this thing, when I read it, I wanted to know where the secret place is, right? I wanted to know where that place that he's talking about. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Where is this place, right? I mean, we're living in a time of great consternation. We don't know what the future holds. Every day, the news is worse and worse. So where's the secret place? That's what I wanted to know because, boy, I want to be in that place where the Almighty dwells. Well, as I looked at it, it's not complicated. It's not difficult. It's people who are abiding in Christ, who are spending time daily with the Lord. Like, my devotion time and my love for God shouldn't change because there's a virus. This should be something I've always done, is trust in the Lord. Whether it was, well, in our case, living in Idaho, we had a tremendous fire. We had to trust in the Lord, and God delivered us from that. Shortly after that, we had just a torrential rain that just washed out all our roads, and we couldn't get anywhere, and we had to trust him for that. But God was the same through all of those, the fires, the storms, and now these pestilence. He doesn't change, and he's still God. He's still able to hear our cries, and he's still able to deliver us. But the thing about it is we should always be coming to him. I want you to notice something here in verse 2. He says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. What if we just say, the Lord is a refuge, and I'll go to him when I have times of need? You'll never know where the secret place is. What if we said, he is a fortress, and yes, he's, you know, kingdom of God is strong and all that, and yes, he is God, but we don't make it personal. You see what the psalmist is saying? When we make him personal, when we make it my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. There's the secret place. That's the place where you find the security under the shadow of the Almighty. Because God doesn't want a part-time relationship. If you've been tracking with us at House of Grace, we saw what God thinks of our sacrifices, our festivals, our feasts, our acts of religiosity, if you would. If they have no heart for God, God says, I hate them. I don't want them. I don't want your burnt offerings. I don't want your fatted calves. I don't want your religious festivals. I want mercy and I want grace. I want you to want me and to love me and to serve me by loving and caring for others. It's very simple, but I'm going to tell you something else about these first three verses. Before we're going to see the power of God, pay attention, before you're going to ever see the power of God, you have to praise God. Before power comes praise. We can't ask for God's power if we've not praised him, if we haven't recognized who he is and what he's done. And I find that every time in the Old Testament when the children of Israel, Caleb and Joshua, were in difficulty, such as the Battle of Ai, small city, easily to take, they thought they could just go in with half the troops and just wipe them out. And you know the story. They were defeated, weren't they? They were soundly defeated, and they ran back, and they closed them sackcloth and asked, why did we not defeat that army? Well, there was sin in the camp. When there's unconfessed sin in our life, when we're living in apathy, when we're living in mediocrity, when we're living in nominal Christian life, like I've said so many times, when God is just a small part of your life and he's not the whole, we're living in mediocrity. And he is a fortress and he is a refuge and he might even be God, but he's not personal. And when he's not personal, let me tell you something, you're not going to find that secret place. The secret place is those who abide. Let me tell you a little something about the secret place. I think of Joshua and Caleb. One thing I know about Caleb, he was like 85 years old. That's retirement age, I think, I hope, for me. But he was saying, hey, I'm just as strong at 85 as I was when I was 40. You know that hill country that nobody wants to take where there's giants and the land is difficult because it's mountain country? Yeah, give me that land. I will go up there and I will defeat those people and I will take that land for my own. So he chose the hardest place with the hardest army to take, and he went up there because he believed in God. See, that was his. That's the secret place. I'm not afraid of any foe, any army, any whatever, if he's my God, if he's my refuge, if he's my fortress, and he's my God and will I trust. I hope you understand that. And I hope in the days to come, if you have been in that relationship with God that's nominal or apathetic or whatever, God's calling you. This plague that's going on, this coronavirus, is to call us back to him. I've seen it over and over and over again in the Old Testament. When the plagues come, it's to cause repentance. If it was to be exiled out of their country, it wasn't, yeah, it was punishing them. But when they repented and turned back to God, they went back to their land. Over and over and over again, you see this. And God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I believe this plague is to turn our hearts closer to God. And let me tell you, House of Grace, I've seen it and I've heard it from many of you. Acts of kindness. I've gotten text messages. If anybody needs anything, I have extra. If anybody needs toilet paper, I have plenty. If anybody needs a gallon of milk, just Wednesday night, there was a single gallon of milk that was extra that somebody had. And said, I have a gallon of milk. Does anybody need it? And our brother Billy Ray said, yeah, I could use that. And the milk got to him. It's a simple act of kindness. But that's what the body of Christ should always be doing, not just at a time like this. So let's make him our refuge. Let's make him our fortress. And before we even carry on another sentence out of the Psalm 91, if we understand that, we'll get the rest of it. But he has to become personal. I love the way Moses wrote this. My refuge, my fortress, my God. And don't forget to praise him before you expect his power. At a particular time as this, when we are very anxious, upset, lots of consternation, unknown tomorrow, will I be able to pay my bills? Will I lose my house? What about my job? I mean, even the church, I think about this separation, What if people don't tithe? God said, that's none of your business. That's my business. I said, okay. It's your church. You build it. You tear it down. Whatever you want to do. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But there's anxious. There's times where we're uncertain. Please turn to the Lord at those times. Make him your fortress. Okay? Going on. The end of verse 3 was, he'll deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. If you don't know what a snare of a fowler, many people back in that day were bird catchers. And they would set a snare in the ground like a net, and the bird would fly by it or land on it because they would put food there. As soon as the bird, the net would catch him. It would just snatch him away. And a lot of times that's what Satan's like. He's like that fowler. He sets these traps of of fear and anxiety. He causes us to doubt God. You know, many people today may be doubting God. I can't go to church, so I don't know if I have a relationship with God. You do. God is with you always. It's not just in church, and it should be an all-the-time lifestyle that we live and not just a Sunday Christianity. So that's what God's trying to produce. Don't let Satan set a snare for you and tell you that you are not his because church is closed. You are just very much his. And from the perilous pestilence. Now, this is what started to intrigue me because I saw perilous pestilence, and I'm thinking, wow, that describes today. What do I do with that? So verse 4 says, he shall cover you with his feathers. Under his wing you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrows that fly by day, nor of the pestilence that walk in darkness, nor of the destruction that lay waste at noonday. I like this passage of scripture and studying it. I went to, you know, that place where I go with my weird thoughts. And I was thinking about where he talks about under his wing you shall take refuge. I love that. He'll cover you with his feathers under his wing. Have you ever watched a bunch of chickens, like with the little chicks? And I've seen this before where the mother will call them when there's danger, and the little chicks will run to their mother, and they'll just get all up underneath her, and she'll take her wings and cover them. I thought, wow, that's what God's talking about. I can hide under the shadow of his wings. And I thought about every other animal that I see when there's danger. We have rabbits in my yard, little white bunny, little white tails. I see them. And as soon as I try to come out and befriend them, of course they're afraid of me, huh? Kind of ugly and whatever. But they run, and the first thing they do is they flee to a hole in the ground that they have. They have a burrow somewhere. They haven't let me know where it is yet. But they take off, and they go in this hole, this place of safety, and they hide from any and all danger. Foxes do that. Birds do that. All animals find a place of security where they go, and they hide. And God is saying, I'm the place for you. See, when you're scared, you run to me. And under my wings, under my feathers, I will protect you. Isn't that great? I just thought that was the coolest thing. And he says, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night. Oh, let me back up a verse. At the end of verse 4, it says, his truth shall be your shield and your buckler. What is the truth of God? What is it? What has he promised you? I think at times like these, I count the promises of God probably more than ever because I just want to remind myself that God promised. He will never leave me or forsake me. God will always provide. He says, be anxious for nothing, but everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Constantly over and over and over again, I know that God will get me through this time. Some people have turned to the 23rd Psalm and they go to the valley of the shadow of death because it feels like that's where we're at, right? And they always point out we're not staying there. We're going through. God's promised to get us on the other side. And on the other side, there's a table prepared for us before our enemies, a feast, if you would, a celebration, and that's what we're looking forward to. So all of these promises that God has given us, his truth is a shield. So when Satan attacks you and says, this is the end of you, put the shield of faith up. Say, no, God's word has said that he hasn't meant this for my destruction, that he'll take care of me. It's also this buckler, which was a sword, which was a knife of protection. So to chase the devil away with your sword, your Bible, count the promises of God, and he will have to flee from you. He talks about being afraid of terror by night. I don't know about you, but nighttime can be a very frightening time. The darkness is the unknown. If you ever go out at night, you hear things and you're very jumpy. If you heard that same noise during the day, you wouldn't flinch. But at night, who knows what it is, right? It could be the werewolf or some other monster that you've dreamed up. But you don't know, and so you're afraid. So don't be afraid at night, nor the arrows that fly by day. And back in those days, like I said last week, when an invading army would come to take you over, they would let you know they're there by taking arrows and shooting them over the wall randomly. Thousands of them would fly over the wall. They said, you're not going to be afraid of the arrows that fly by night, nor of the pestilence that walk in darkness, nor of the destruction that lay waste at noonday. All the things that you're seeing in the world today, the wars, rumors of wars, I know there's been some earthquakes. There's a lot of things that are causing us to be very scared, but don't be. And trust the Lord. Go to that secret place where God is going to give you protection. That's in his word. And then he tells us what we see in verse 7. He says, 1,000 may fall on your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. When I look at things like this, I feel for people that don't have God. He says, I'm going to see the fall of the wicked. People have put their trust in who knows what. They put their trust in man. They flee to men and say, what's the answer? You know, I've watched the news and everybody's asking the scientists or the doctors, the guys that make the med, what's the answer? You know what the reply is? We don't know. We don't have an answer. We don't have a vaccine. We don't know what the deal is. So shelter in place, lockdown. And I believe it's probably a very good thing. When you don't know what to do, don't do anything. And just stay home. Don't spread the virus. So that's what we're being compliant with, because that's what we know for sure. And don't come in contact with anybody. My whole thing is 6 feet away so my computer don't get contaminated or whatever. Not that I have it. I don't. Anyway, so my computer just kind of glitched out, kind of weird. I don't know what happened to it, but it's still working. Hope you can still see me. But it won't come near you. You're going to see the destruction of the plague on the wicked. You're going to see the destruction on the people who don't know the Lord, because they don't have faith, they don't have peace, they don't have comfort. Please use every opportunity you have to pray for them, to comfort them, to touch their life with the gospel, every chance you have, okay? Verse 8 goes on, it says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he has given his angels charge over you. What a promise. There's one of the big reasons I wanted to do this psalm, because of the promises. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge. So Moses is saying, if he wrote this, look, you people that are trusting God, these people in the wilderness, because you have made the Most High your refuge, he's my refuge, because I'm been delivered from this. You got to remember, Moses is the guy they all complained to. Moses is the guy that took the heat when they were out in the middle of Sinai and there was no water and they were dying of thirst. Moses is the guy who had to handle the problems all the time. Can you imagine thinking, well, where's the nearest store I can buy a bottle of water? There's no water out here. And he goes before the Lord. He goes to his refuge. He goes to the secret place. He goes before God and says, God, these people are dying of thirst. There's no water. What do I do? And the first time God says, go to the rock, strike the rock with your staff, and water will come forth. Do you know that water came from a rock? It certainly did, because God promised to take care of them. The second time he said, I want you to speak to the rock. Just speak to it and water will come. Well, at that point, poor Moses was pretty upset with the people and he beat the rock, and that was a problem because he misrepresented God. But that's another story for another time. But even in all of those things, I love the fact that he would write, the Lord who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Make him your dwelling place. Again, I'm trying to give you the understanding of where the secret place is. It's in the Most High. And he says, evil will not befall you. And so, doesn't mean necessarily that I won't get coronavirus. It means this, though. It means if I do succumb to the coronavirus, it will not destroy my house, my dwelling, if you would. And it doesn't mean where I live in Idlewild. It means the tabernacle of my place where I meet with God, my soul, my heart, my relationship with God will not be touched by any plague or anything. I will always have this place where I can go. So even if I get the virus, guess where I'm going? I'm going to the throne room of grace. I'm going to get before the Lord, and I'm going to pray like I've never prayed before. I'm going to ask God to deliver me. I'm going to ask God for his will to be done in my life. I learned something a while back, and I think I've shared it with you before from, I'm struggling for her name, Graham's daughter, Billy Graham's daughter, Ann Graham Lott, sorry, a little slow there in the brain, like the computer glitching in front of me, but Ann Graham Lott's, when she had cancer, she couldn't do her speaking, she couldn't go anywhere or do anything, and she thought to herself, well, there goes my whole life for about 2 minutes, and then she prayed this prayer, and I'll never forget it in the book. She said, God, let me minister with this cancer. And she found every time she went to chemotherapy, I don't know, I've never been there, but it was a room with other people and she's receiving the therapy. She found that that was church for her. because there was people that she ministered to and prayed for and shared the gospel with, and they responded with such love that she looked forward to going to the doctor to see these people again and to pray for them and minister to them. So know that no matter what happens to us, God is that place where you dwell, and no evil will befall you. Your relationship with God will never be strained by coronavirus. No evil will befall you, nor any plague come near your dwelling. God will never leave you or forsake you. Nothing that Satan, no weapons that are formed against us can stand, the Bible tells us. Satan cannot get into your house and separate you from God with anything. So that's the meaning here. He gives his angels charge over you. I'm not sure I understand all the things about angels, but God has given his angels charge over me. And there's been so many times where God has protected me from certain danger, for sure. How many times if you're going out the house and can't find your keys or your wallet or some other thing you have to bring, and you're searching everywhere, God, just help me find my keys. And 5 minutes goes by, and all of a sudden, oh, there they are. Great, I found my keys. Only to find an accident. If you would have left 5 minutes sooner, you might have been in that accident. God has given his angels charge to keep you in all of your ways. Verse 12, it says, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lions and the cobras. The young lions and the serpent shall trample underfoot. Here's another thing of the danger and the different things that he talks about. He'll keep you in all your ways. Don't forget that, because this is the very verse that Satan twisted when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. You remember, he took Jesus to a great high tower and said, see all these kingdoms of the world? If you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give them to you. And then he said to him the last time, he said, well, throw yourself down. Make a big scene. God will protect you. So in front of all these people, if you jump off the tabernacle and hit the ground and nothing happens to you, they'll know you're God and they'll worship you. God says you should not tempt the Lord your God. He didn't read that he'll keep you in all your ways and God will protect you. It's not a matter of tempting God in the spectacular, but trusting him in the everyday life. That's what Jesus was saying. I don't need a spectacular, crazy miracle right now. I just need God's presence. I just need God to be with me wherever I go. And he'll protect me from dashing my foot against a stone. He'll watch over me from the young lion, the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. I'm not afraid of those things that I can't control. I can't control the lion. I can't control the serpent, but I'm not afraid of them either, because God is always with me. And he tells us that in verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Very prophetic in its nature, this particular verse, speaking of Christ in a lot of ways. But I also think it's true of us, because we have set his love upon me, therefore he will deliver me. The more I set my love and my relationship with God, if I understand him at all, I understand that God loves me. It's very difficult, because I think a lot of us sometimes have a hard time loving ourselves, you know? We can't understand how somebody so foul and corrupt as myself, that God, who is holy, righteous, and true, could actually set his affection upon me. But let me remind you what Romans 5:8 tells us, that God demonstrated love. You want to know what a demonstration of love is? It's like somebody setting something up and saying, this is how it works. And he said, this is how it works. This is my demonstration, which always tips me over, because he says, while you were yet a sinner, I died for you. It wasn't while you were going to church, being religious, doing good things. I've always told you, it's the worst day you ever had. The day that you blasphemed God, the day that you were straying from him, the day that you were not doing anything, that's the day he set his affection upon you. So because he loves us and we set our affection upon him, he'll deliver us. He'll deliver us always. In verse 15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. It's just a promise of God to be with us always, isn't it? Just like he was with Jesus. Now, I want to share a little something from this about Jesus, because I think it's really important to the story. Jesus trusted God while he was here on earth. And if I've studied the Gospels carefully enough, I look at Jesus and I think to myself, I wouldn't want to wear his sandals, because his life wasn't easy. A lot of times you think, oh, I wish I could be Jesus and do those miracles. No, you don't, because most of the people that he did miracles for didn't believe him. Remember the man that was born blind, and they didn't want to believe that Jesus healed him, and they chastised his mother and him. He says, I don't know, you ask him. Jesus, I was once blind, but now I see. That's what I know. Everywhere he went, they told him he was illegitimate, that he was born out of wedlock. How could he be a rabbi? He had a difficult life. But let me tell you something about Jesus' life that I want. No matter how difficult Jesus' life was, the joy he had, the love he had came from his Father. The same Father that you and I worship today, the same God that speaks to us through his word, that speaks to us in that still small voice. I don't know how many of you guys, but I've heard a lot of people say, I've been woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. God wanted to talk. I don't know what his deal is with 3 o'clock in the morning, but he really likes that time to speak with us. It's the same God that spoke with Jesus is speaking to us and comforting us in times of trouble and difficult times. So like Jesus, doesn't matter what the outward circumstances are. It really matters what's inside, where the secret place of the Most High dwells, in my soul, in my heart of hearts. And he will give me that long life, and he'll satisfy me because I've trusted in him. And he'll show me salvation. I love that last verse. He'll show me my salvation. No matter what the world is doing right now, do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved? Saved from the worst virus that's ever hit mankind, the virus of sin and destruction, what Satan has meant to destroy us and send us all to hell. God has paid a price through his son Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross and has provided salvation for us. And there's salvation in no other name. So if you're fearing today, if you find yourself in a place of doubt and fear, put your trust in that secret place of the Most High God, and you'll find that rest for your soul. You'll find that peace that passes all understanding. You will find something that the world doesn't have. The world doesn't have peace. It can't have it because they don't know him. Only in him will they find it. I'm going to look for one other verse in at the end of this psalm that I told you I would share with you. I've got to find it in the book of, well, it's not Hosea. I've got to find it in my little cheater tabs here. I should have marked it before I started, but I didn't. Yeah, it's in the book of Haggai. It was sent to me by your worship leader, Kelly Wills, and I find it really, really important to share that with you. Come on, Haggai, where are you? I know you're in the Minor Prophets, Amos. Oh, boy. There it is. Did I say Haggai? I didn't mean that. I meant Habakkuk. Sorry about that. It's Habakkuk. And this is a psalm that he wrote, a hymn, if you would, kind of a psalm type thing. It was at the end of his questioning God. Habakkuk was asking God, why do the evil prosper and why do certain things happen? And it's interesting, if you read the whole three chapters of Habakkuk, you will find that he was one of the only prophets that was able to question God, and God answered him. And through his questioning, and I think the questions he asked, we would ask the same thing. God, why? Coronavirus. Why now when the economy is booming and everything's going great? My kids are in school. They're doing good. My grandson was doing great in mountain bike racing. He needed that. Why now? Why end all that? It's where we put our faith and trust at times like this. And after all the questioning that Habakkuk did, he came to this conclusion, and he wrote this hymn of faith. It says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive tree may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the Lord, in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on the high mountains. It's a simple hymn. It's a simple reflection of the heart of each one of us in times like this. Though this coronavirus collapses the economy, though it may get each and every one of us, we may get it and have some flu-like symptoms, though we may lose a lot in this particular time, I will make the Lord God my strength. And he will make our feet like deer's feet. And What you got to understand about what he was seeing, have you ever seen a deer run up a side of a mountain through the rocks? They're very sturdy, and they can climb almost anything, and they're very sure-footed. And so know that God is saying that he'll give you a firm stance in times of trouble like these, in times of the unknown, in the times of deep doubt and fear. God is going to give you the feet that will stand strong and stable in times like these. So I want to encourage you, House of Grace, find the secret place. Go there. Spend time there. Dwell there. And be at that place where he dwells with you. Commune with him often. And like I said, if you haven't done that in the past, today is the day. Please do not listen to the voice of condemnation. Remember, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 starts with that verse. There is no condemnation. So if you come to God today and say, well, you know, I've been kind of doing my own thing, God, but now I'm scared. Can I come to the secret place? Of course he's going to allow you to come. It's his blood that cleanses you from all sin. It's nothing you need to do except come. Come freely. Come openly. Come to him knowing that he is God and that he's able. And you'll find rest for your soul. You'll find the peace that you can find nowhere else. It's the best medicine that I found is the peace of God through times like this. So I'm going to pray. It's been really interesting. I guess I've been here for a while. It sure seemed like 5 minutes and I'm done. But hopefully you're encouraged and blessed. So let me pray and then I'll be done. Father, we come before you in the secret place, the place where you dwell, the place where your spirit calls us to come every day, all the time. You wait for us to come. You never have a busy moment where you're not interested in the things that concern us the most. We thank you, God, for your love and for your healing hand and your hands of protection. Thank you for the promises of the shield and the buckler. Thank you for the illustration of the wings of a mother hen where her chicks would gather under them that you've called us. Even Israel, Lord, you said how many times you would have gathered them like a mother hen gathers her chicks. You would have gathered up the people of Israel, but they would not. God, I pray that we would not be a people who would say, no, I'm fine out here on my own. Lord, I pray that we would flee this world. We would come to you and find our refuge and make you our refuge, my refuge, my fortress, and my God. I pray today would be a day where we would truly find the comfort and the peace of God right here in the Word of God, and we'd count your promises precious. Lord, I just pray for each and every one that has a prayer request. I don't know what they are exactly, but you do. Your word declares that you're constantly making intercession for us before the Father. And so we trust, Lord, that you will take care of what concerns us the most, what we need, whether we need healing or we need finances or we just need some relational type stuff. God, we ask for your continued care and watch over House of Grace and every church in this valley and every church across this country, Lord God. What Satan has meant for evil, God, I pray that you would turn it for good. With all these new devices and these new ways of communicating the gospel, I pray that you would reach the souls of many. So, Lord, I just pray that you'd bless the people now. In Jesus' name, amen. Bye.